This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing great. Our shop is exquisitely humid today because it's just so warm outside, and I'm just saying it's doing wonders for my hair. I think my tobacco Jesus game is on point today.
Yeah, man. I'm
letting it down. I kind of feel like I've got the locks. Flowing. It's been, I don't know. This doesn't even have any product in it.
It's fantastic. One of these things. We just, out of nowhere, of course, we've had this ridiculous heat. Out of nowhere, we get a little bit of rain in. And
it's amazing that people can live down here. Yeah. I mean, I think I say that often.
Every single episode during the summer, but it's true.
No, it's just awful. Yeah. I mean, it's just awful.
It's absolutely true.
We, you know, being in a pipe shop in the South, you know, obviously this time of year it is really terrible. And so, generally, what we see is the pipe smoking goes down a smidge, and cigars will kind of go up. Cigars, you don't have to fool with them as much. They're a little more conducive to maybe grilling out or sitting by the pool or something like that. But you know, the pipe smokers that do stick with it and are real regular, a lot of times the only place they smoke is here in the shop.
Yeah.
Because this is the only real place they can. it's amazing.
It's a safe haven for many folks. And man, let me tell you, over the weekends, which by the way, happy 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, happy 4th of July.
Now, do you say
happy Independence Day?
All right, so you say Independence Day.
I tend to go that route.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, ever since the movie, I feel like Independence Day has been a whole nother thing.
It's got its own connotation.
1994,
right?
we will never forget. Yeah, of course. But
the president's speech in that movie, still the best president's speech.
Even after the terrible sequel, it still holds up.
Even after the terrible sequel, even with real presidents. Like, I think, I don't know, like, I know Reagan had some good ones, FDR had some good ones, but Bill Pullman in that one. Just saying. I'd vote for him.
Yeah, you know, he had his moments. I'm a flight attendant, not a flight attendant. I'm a pilot. That would have been a completely different
thing. I'm a flight attendant.
What if you said that?
I'm a stewardess. Right.
I belong in the air. Yeah, man. All right. So happy Independence / 4th of July to you as well.
You too.
But yeah, no. While most of us were enjoying our barbecue and family and beer and all that kind of wonderful stuff, you were here laboring away as if it was Labor Day.
Dude.
Man, we are standing. And this, for those of you tuning in for the live show, you can see it. Something feels a little different here.
It's a little different. So I've probably worked about 24 hours in the past 36 hours. and came up here to the shop Sunday afternoon and then all day yesterday, just kind of taking advantage of the 3-day weekend. And so, man, it's very strange, but we have moved the entire tobacco bar from the back of our shop to the front of our shop. And this has been really weird, Bo. It's been one of those things that, you know, to some people, it's been an obvious decision. Of course you should do this. And for other people, it's been like, well, you know, the tobacco bar was in the back of the shop for 45 years. Why the, you know, heck would you move it now kind of thing? And, you know, I kind of put out a little video to our pipe club last night, not the general public, but just, you know, the Magnolia Pipe Club, just kind of giving them a little tour and explaining some of my rationale and just to, you know, kind of reiterate some of that. I just have this feeling that with our private blends, as you know, popular as they are, and also as, you know, powerful as they are as far as the, you know, percent of our business goes.
Sure.
You know, we sell a lot of things. We sell pipes. We sell cigars. We sell tinned tobacco. But you know, the private blend is kind of our the hallmark of our shop, and so you know, it's just important to me to kind of have that visible from the front door, which is just right here. And so when people walk in, they can see it. They can see it really easily and approach it very easily. And it was just, I felt convicted that that was the right thing to do.
Man,
so,
it looks beautiful.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It looks beautiful.
Yeah,
like, I walked in
good.
The shop. I remember seeing the video because I remember you talked about wanting to do this for a while. And
it's kind of hard to visualize a little bit without seeing it.
It made sense.
And I was scared.
it made sense, but it was always kind of hard for me to figure out how it was going to all flow. But like, as soon as you posted out that video and I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to go in there.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like, you've got, you know, and y'all can't see this on the live show, but like behind you right now, like where the camera is, we've got sitting rooms. So we might actually open this up.
We may have to
not just a live show, but a live show.
A live studio audience.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we joke, you know, we joke about the quote unquote live studio audience. Say hello, Briar. And that's it. So, you know, we might actually have a legitimate live studio audience.
Hey, we have a legitimate studio audience, but, you know, just more than one person.
Exactly. Exactly.
What's the singular audience? Is it just audience?
Audi. Hey, I'm on the road again.
Yeah, you're going to Chicago, right?
I am leaving again for Chicago. Yeah, tomorrow morning at the just absolutely crack of dawn, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're getting in there probably about right before noon on Wednesday. And we will be there from Wednesday to Friday.
Now, why are you going?
Now, I'm going for a podcast movement. It's a big industry kind of convention, conference type thing.
Yeah.
Really mostly going to network. We've got some great meetings lined up with some really exciting folks doing some amazing things in the industry. You're going to be talking about Satchel and representing the Satchel podcast player. Excited about that. But even more so excited to be able to go and visit. Now help me with this because I always mispronounce it.
I've always said Ewan Reese. I've always said that.
See, I'm dyslexic. It looks like Iwan to me.
Well, and some people say that.
Ewan Reese.
There's been people, because we're in the Deep South, that have come up to me and not you know, blinked at all, saying it Iwan Rice.
Well, there you go.
And that's probably just Southern for I don't know how to say that. But
yeah. Well, look, I'm excited. But,
one of the flagship pipe shops, obviously, in the United States.
So yeah.
It's really exciting, man. I've never been. I'd love to go sometime. And man, really great guys up there, super knowledgeable. And are you going to try to meet up with some folks when you're up there?
Well, that's the goal. So if you're listening and you're in Chicago and you happen to be free one evening this week, I think it'll probably be Thursday night, but it may also be Wednesday night. I'm not sure yet. So so by the time this episode goes live, be sure to keep an eye on the Facebook and Twitter page. We'll post out that information. Would love to meet up with you. I'm actually already reached out to the shop about going by and collecting some audio, doing a quick interview, and maybe putting out a shop talk. What a great historic location, and can't wait to hear some of the stories there and just check them out, man. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
You know, it's funny. People over the past few weeks have come in and been like, man, your inventory's really improved, and, you know, the shop's looking good. You've got so much stuff. But if you want to see a pipe shop with inventory, you need to go to Ewan Reese. Like, I've never been, but I've just heard there's just buckets and buckets full of, you know, Savinelli's and Peterson's. You know, there's literally drawers that you open that just the front of the drawer just says, like, Savinelli written in like a, you know, an old school label. And then you open the door and it's just full of them, you know. And that just blows my mind to think that, you know, that shop does so much volume that they can sustain that. I love it. It's really cool. I think Chuck is maybe the guy that either owns it or runs it, and really well known, obviously connected in the pipe industry, and heard nothing but good things about him, even though I haven't ever interacted with him in person. So, man, I look forward to hearing how that goes. You have to take a bunch of pictures.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be fun.
Absolutely. You know, I meant to do a shout out to a listener, but I can't remember the details. So never mind. Yeah, sorry.
Well, we had I'll edit that entire part out.
No, right. We had somebody. Who was it? And now I can't even remember who told me about this story. But it was somebody who they met somebody. They were traveling to like California or somebody, and they met somebody.
Yeah.
And that person said, hey, you know, where are you from? He's like, oh, I'm from Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Country Squire? He's like, yeah, no, I know that place. He's like, they do a podcast. I don't know. I forgot all the details. That's the next season.
And then you found $20, and so it was totally worth it.
Cool story.
It was totally worth it.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, just as anecdotally, I'd like to say, it's not really an announcement, but it's just so funny in the power of social media in our industry today. This morning I received a shipment of tobacco in the mail.
Yeah.
And, it was from our friends, one of these, our main distributors that we get a lot of our supplies from, and a lot of my blending ingredients and all that kind of stuff. And I opened the box, and, as I was expecting, it was a bunch of Esoterica tobacco in these beautiful, shiny gold, golden packages that, look kind of like this.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so just really something. This is a bag of Tilbury.
Now, Esoterica, of course, they make Penzance. They made Penzance.
They make Penzance. They make Stonehaven, Tilbury, Dunbar. There's Pembroke. There's several that they make. Of course, this is really small batch stuff. But the reason I even bring this up is, and really the only reason, of course, all we have left now is two bags of Tilbury and one thing of Pembroke. But all the Stonehaven and Penzance was gone in 15 minutes.
My goodness.
All I did, literally all I did, was take a picture of what we got, put it on Instagram, didn't say anything except put my phone number on there. And that was it. And it was so funny because I could hear as I was, you know, taking the orders for the first, you know, pound and a half of Penzance that I sold. You know, I could hear it beeping in the background. So the next person was trying to get in and was probably angry because they, you know, they couldn't.
Sure. It was like an eBay type.
It's just amazing, man. Like it shows you the power of small batch tobaccos like that. It's tremendous. Of course, the folks at Esoterica do a really good job. You know, they're wonderful tobaccos. You know, and a bag like this at the Country Squire, we charge $42.50 for an 8-ounce bag like this. You know, there's some people that would mark that up and, you know, get, I don't know, $75-$80 for that 8-ounce bag. But it's, you know, we think it's we just want to, you know, sell it at a fair price with our excise tax in Mississippi. Yeah. And, you know, when it's gone, it's gone. But it's one of those things, like, when you get it, it's just gone. Yeah. It's amazing.
Have you had Tilbury before?
I have not had this yet. Read it. What does the front say again?
Let's see. Utilizing finest whole leaf and traditional product techniques, we take pleasure in presenting a wide variety of premium pipe tobaccos for your enjoyment. It's a broad cut, extra mature Virginia.
Yeah, that's right.
And let's see. Entirely made, blended, and aged in the British Isles.
Oh, okay.
So less than United Kingdom over there.
Yeah. They're not feeling very united right now.
No.
But yeah, you know, this stuff just goes so quickly. It's got such a incredibly hardcore following. A lot of folks too, they'll, you know, buy it and resell it or buy it, split it up and then share it amongst their friends, you know, just because it's kind of hard to get. But the Tilbury, it says a broad cut, extra mature Virginia. Of course, we all know what Penzance Stonehaven is. One of the guys that bought a bag of Stonehaven this morning shared a little bowl with me, which was nice. And the Pembroke, read that one. That's really interesting to me. And I've had most of the Esoterica stuff except the Pembroke and the Tilbury here. What does that say?
All right, Pembroke Choice English Cognac Blend.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about that. You know, that wouldn't sound particularly interesting to me when you start mixing liquor and Latakia and all these things. But that I don't know. That sounds pretty great.
Have you had it before?
I never have.
No. I'm inclined to buy this right now so we could pop it open to try it.
It's one of two tins I have left.
Oh, man.
It's only $14.
I know. I know. Hey, now, I'm thinking about it. Hang on just a second. This has become a completely different experience now. People are like debating, okay, now do I have this in the budget? Yeah, I have it in the budget. Is my wife going to be mad if I walk home with another tin of tobacco?
Another tin? Right.
Yeah.
But talk to the tobacconist after the show. Maybe he'll make you.
All right.
You do produce the show.
So live audience, you've got all of about 30, 45 minutes right now if you want to call in. Good luck to you.
Whatever, the phone's unplugged. talk to me tomorrow.
Man, all right, so we have got a great show planned tonight. In the spirit of the 4th of July, and you know, which of course celebrates our independence, but ultimately drives back to the birth of this country that we live in here in the States, the United States of America. And so, you know, you had this idea. I had the idea to talk about barbecue and tobacco pairing. You naysayed with a vengeance.
You know, I feel like our listeners and viewers give us a lot of license when we do our pairing stuff. You know, we put a lot of thought into it and we are pride ourselves in that. But, you know, I mean, are you going to go buy necessarily, if you're listening to this, are you going to go buy a, you know, $35 bottle of whiskey just so you can smoke it with one bowl of Dunhill 965? I mean, I don't know. You might, you know,
goal is for us to drink the whiskey on air.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So our listeners give us a lot of license for that. But, but dude, a barbecue and tobacco pairing?
Because you're right.
Because hashtag America. No. Like, I mean, like, what? I mean, I'm sorry, but like, what? There's literally, like.
Because nobody barbecues while smoking their pipe. By the way, keep sending those pictures, which I already
have. Come on, man.
I'm just saying, this may be your cornbread and milk.
It'd be shame. I don't know, dude.
I think the listeners are with me on
this
one.
That'd be shameless. I mean, like,
aren't we?
I mean, look, I'm okay. I love barbecue. I love barbecue. I ate a half slab of ribs yesterday. It was great. But
well, I'll tell you this. The only thing more American than barbecue?
Tobacco. That's right.
So we got a great show tonight that we're going to be talking about this. So walk us through, man, the history of tobacco in America.
Well, and we wanted to talk about this. Obviously, this is kind of a July 4th tribute. We celebrated Independence Day here in the States yesterday. And, you know, actually, it's funny. I don't know the date of the independent. Do you know offhand what the anniversary was yesterday? What? What was America's birthday yesterday?
July 4th? But they actually signed it on the 3rd, right?
No.
Or wait, what was the whole
thing? I'm asking how old America is.
Oh.
It'd be 200 and...
It's impolite to ask
a lady how old she is.
Right. Including Lady Liberty.
Okay, we'll go with that. But anyway...
I'm an American. I don't know anything about history, geography.
Yeah, you fit right in. That's great.
Exactly.
On Independence Day, we, you know, have a lot of pride in our country. And we have a very unique way of life here that, always every 4 years up for discussion on what that is going to look like kind of stuff. And obviously we're in one of those years this year, but
typically a beautiful part of our political
and it's been
process.
I wouldn't call this year beautiful, but anyway, we'll discuss it some other time when we have that $35 bottle of whiskey. But you know, we have such a unique system of government here, but also our country has such an interesting story that is woven intimately with this leaf that we love, this interesting leaf with these wonderful properties of medicine to our soul, and it's this beautiful and heartbreaking and just very full, interesting, wonderful and tragic interwoven thing that is tobacco in America.
The history of America is, in fact, the history of tobacco, or at least reflects it in many ways.
It really is. So we just want to spend just a few minutes kind of talking about that. Obviously, we have spent several episodes in the past talking about kind of the history of tobacco. Tobacco, you know, obviously we had, the Spanish come and in the East Indies, as they were kind of island hopping down there, they were interacting with these natives, finding, local, what they called Indians at the time, were inhaling this leaf. You know, they would burn this leaf on fire and inhale it, and they were, they took some of this back to Europe and, in some cases were jailed because of it, because it was just such an insane practice.
What is this? This seems so odd.
Right. They're drinking smoke or drinking fire,
And at the time, it was with clay, right? I mean, it was in the ground. Is that correct?
As far as the smoking apparatus?
The smoking method for actually lighting it on fire and breathing in the smoke.
I have trouble remembering right offhand. I think they either used wooden pipes or clay pipes. I'm not sure, to be honest. I can't remember. Or maybe it was like a cane or like a piece of sugar cane or something.
Ooh.
I'll have to go back and look at that. I can't remember offhand. But in 1528, so you had the Spanish and then Portuguese kind of take this back to Europe and throughout the 16th and 17th century. The tobacco usage exploded through Europe. Now, this was, obviously a time of great drama. I mean, it wasn't just like it just took over automatically. There was a lot of back and forth, like, what is this new thing? And should we be doing this? And, are we becoming dragons by doing this? Or like, what's going on with this?
Why did you just lock up Frederick? Well, he was smoking this something. He lit it on fire and he drank the smoke. Oh, that sounds crazy, but it smells amazing.
But it smells so good. And he's so relaxed. And all of a sudden his wife likes him more.
Let's unlock him, have him start a business and... I'll recover into this.
That's exactly right. You should write a story about it.
All hail Frederick!
Who is this Frederick?
The founder of tobacco, apparently.
Apparently so, yeah. Forget Sir Walter Raleigh. You had this explosion of tobacco,
That's all right.
In Europe there. And obviously as America was settled more and more by the Northern Europeans, Britain in particular, the settlers came to America and... in droves, obviously, initially they were looking for things like gold and silver, precious metals, but, they needed to trade with the natives in order to get supplies, even stuff like raw material, but even stuff like food, things to survive on, as their gold and silver was becoming less and less available just because they got to America thinking, oh, we'll go find all this precious metal. And then, in America, you've got, great soil and you've got livestock and wildlife and all this stuff. But you don't really have a lot of precious metal, at least on the eastern seaboard there. And so, out of necessity, they started, trading using tobacco as a form of currency with the Native Americans. And so the tobacco became a viable alternative to silver and gold at the time, which is interesting. So as the tobacco began to be used like that. It even in some cases was sanctioned by the state as a way of determining a person's wealth. And so you could have a gentleman that, you know, his estate was, you know, valued based on how much tobacco that he either produced or that his family, you know, was able to consume during a year or something like that, which is really fascinating to me. And so even with that, tobacco, because it was used basically as a currency, had a legitimate rate of conversion to gold and silver. So you could, at any given point in time, say this amount of tobacco is worth this much gold or silver.
Really?
Which I think is really interesting. It's like when you go to the bank and say, you know, hey, I need to exchange $100 for the British pound, like, or the euro, like, you know, and then they go look at the, you know, exchange rate and what's the conversion they give you. Okay, well, your $100 today is worth, you know, 80 British pounds or whatever.
Right.
You know? And so,
right.
And it, anyway, similar thing kind of took place there. Which is kind of fascinating, but
that's why you always want to invest in precious metals and tobacco.
And tobacco, right. And then bury it in the backyard
with
the rest of us that are paranoid, right. Of course, with the FDA, we've got everyone's burying it in their, like, you know, sock drawer and stuff.
So, that's the thing. Right. All the conspiracy theorists are like, no, we're hoarding gold. But you're like the chief of, like, no, I'm hoarding the tobacco.
That's not right.
When the bombs go off and the stock market crashes, this will be what...
All this stuff here, this isn't for sale.
This is your insurance.
That's
this
right.
is your investment.
Yeah, that's right. That's my retirement fund up there.
I love it.
So, you know, and so as you had the state and also even the church to some extent, you know, start to value people's wealth and also people's, you know, earning potential based on the amount of tobacco that they either produced or consumed, then, you know, obviously tobacco became a very important thing on its own.
Could people tithe with tobacco?
If I had a church, they would be.
I tell you what, man, I bet your father would be all about that.
If we started, if we start one, we'll have to think about that.
That's
but
good.
There is so much heresy going on right now.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so
back on track. I apologize. I'm in rare form tonight.
Yeah, we've got, you know, this concept then that, you know, tobacco became very important, but we wouldn't talk about tobacco in America even before the American Revolution if we didn't talk about slavery. And so, you know, slavery, obviously, this extremely painful, tragic practice that, you know, didn't originate in America, obviously, but, you know, became predominant here as far as, you know, producing agricultural products here. And what's interesting is, as much as we love tobacco, tobacco has a checkered history with the advance of slavery in America as a viable solution to the labor problem. And,
yeah.
And what's fascinating is you've got, you know, think about, I think a lot of folks, they think, okay, when the Europeans came to the New World, they immediately installed kind of slavery as their mode of choice as far as, you know, working these fields and that kind of thing. But what happened is actually more of the initial labor force was dedicated, you know, by this concept of indentured servitude, indentured servants. You know, these are people that basically would, you know, come to you and say, look, I'll go over to this new world with you that I don't know about. I will give you my life for the next, you know, 15 years. And by the end of that 15 years, you'll, you know, set me up with a nice little, you know, nest egg and give me some land, and then I'll be free to go.
Right,
so it's kind of
right.
like I'm basically giving you my work efforts for the next, you know, decade or whatever, and then they give you some land. Well, what happened is the tobacco, you know, at first this was a viable option for growers, right? So they'd bring these indentured servants over, and then, you know, at the end they'd give them some land. But the thing is, tobacco, because it was becoming so popular in Europe, it made the land that much more valuable.
Right.
And so it didn't, like, these farmers, they were having to, this, like, you know, from a profit and loss standpoint, they were having this kind of gut-wrenching thing. Well, you know, I guess if I bring these indentured servants over, I'm going to have to at some point give them this really valuable land that's producing so much income for me.
Right.
And so that's when, you know, they started taking a closer look at some of this indentured servitude. And the idea, you know, unfortunately, and just, you know, due to economics and, you know, the insensitivity of people being removed from other people's cultures and whatnot, but as indentured servitude became less financially viable, slavery became the you know, kind of the MO for these folks to grow the tobacco.
Yeah, and we talked about that actually in our last episode of the pipes and pipe tobacco pirates and whatnot, about how it was the triangular trade.
That's
which
right.
Was,
yeah.
I think cloth from Europe coming to Africa, enslaved Africans going to America, and America sending tobacco to
Europe. There was sugar in there somewhere.
Sugar in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think I should know this, but yeah, I think you had sugar maybe going to Africa, and then
is sugar grown in Europe.
No, that would be in the Caribbean.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I can't remember.
I can't recall.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have someone school us very shortly on Twitter about the triangular trade. But
pipes and pirates, or pirates and pipe tobacco, whatever the last one is.
That's
go back
right.
and listen to that one.
That's
we,
right.
We covered it there.
We knew then. We don't know now.
Yeah. Time travel.
But, you know, anyway, so it's interesting. This tobacco, it's an incredibly labor intensive crop to, you know, to handle and, you know, grow and, you know, productively and then cure and all these things. And so, you know, they saw this as a way to, you know, basically get cheap labor to come in and kind of take care of this. And what's interesting is tobacco didn't just increase a land's value because tobacco is so popularly, you know, being consumed in Europe. It actually increased the land's value for this other weird reason. Tobacco, you know, for those that are more into agriculture, they would know, and I obviously have just read about this. I have no background in agriculture at all. I'm a inner city wannabe hipster, you know, but that doesn't know, you know, the first thing about chickens, but other than, you know, how to cook them in the oven.
Delicious.
But so, you know, tobacco, though, supposedly is extremely hard on the land that it's cultivated in.
Oh, really?
And so, like, very, very hard on the land. It just soaks up nutrients and reduces the quality of the land very, very fast at a very quick rate. And so, as it's using up this nutrients, it's making the soil, you know, a little harsher to work with. And what's strange is that, according to, you know, just my study, European food crops, these cereals that they would grow, primarily barley in Europe, require some harsh soil, which is strange. You would think, you know, they came to the New World, they're in the Tidewater area of Virginia, and they've got this really rich soil with all these nutrients in it. And I kind of get the idea it's almost like eating a piece of cake every day, like the barley, it was too, it couldn't handle this rich soil. It needed something more that would make it fight for its survival a little more.
Interesting. Okay.
And so what they found out is that the tobacco, they could plant this tobacco in these fields, and then the tobacco, just because of how rough it is on the environment, would actually degrade some of the soil and make it more appropriate for things like barley.
Man, nature's incredible.
So they could eat. Yeah, it's just crazy. So not only was the popularity of tobacco back in Europe a part of the explosion of tobacco, but then also the qualities that tobacco had that helped it eventually grow food for these folks, which then they in turn traded to, the Indians and things like that. So, just a really weird kind of thing. And the story of all this, you know, we've talked about, you know, like, it bringing more settlers to America, trading it with the Native Americans for natural resources, bringing in slavery, and then, doing away with the whole working class of people called indentured servants, and then now making land more valuable for foodstuffs and things like that. So literally the incredible explosive growth over the 18th century, you know, up until the point of the American Revolution was due to tobacco. It was. You think about all those little economic engines that are going, for good or for bad, whatever they are, like, all this at some point was touched by this leaf that we love and are passionate about. And so just very fascinating. Yeah. The tobacco growth was directly responsible for American growth. And it was the first crop that transformed the American economy from, you know, that subsistence agriculture where, you know, people are just fighting to survive. You know, I'm going to grow in my backyard what I can eat, and that's it. It transformed the American economy from that to a, you know, production you know, agrarian economy where, you know, it was a viable way to grow things to sell to others. And then you buy your own goods that you want, whether it be, you know, clothing or food or luxury items or whatever. And so, you know, just the natural kind of pace of civilization that some of these, you know, immigrants were used to in Europe. So it, just very fascinating to think about how key the growth of the colonial America was, you know, how deeply connected and rooted that is with this leaf, tobacco. And so, you know, anyway, as America grew and continued to, you know, get on its own feet, they, you know, had more and more reason to, desire, things like influence and, you know, political independence and things like that. And all the way up through the late 18th century, you know, you had, you know, this kind of quasi aristocracy developing on this side of the pond, you know, where people had taken advantage of these benefits from all the economy that had come from the tobacco stuff. And, you know, eventually, you know, felt like, you know, they needed their own government. And so the revolution broke out.
Yep. What a great history lesson.
Yeah, it was, it's just kind of fun to revisit some of those things occasionally. And obviously, we're all to some extent, even just by nature of, you know, going to, you know, at grade school in the United States, we're familiar with some of these things. But we need to remember how deeply interwoven, you know, this passion and hobby that we have about tobacco is with the history of our very way of life. Yeah. And I think that's worth paying attention to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what a great time to do it, man.
Yeah.
Talk about an American history is tobacco history, and tobacco history is American history. And what could be more American? The Missouri Meerschaum pipes.
Man, a corncob pipe? Are you kidding me?
Isn't Missouri Meerschaum, and correct
hashtag
me.
Hashtag America.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but isn't Missouri Meerschaum like the oldest pipe manufacturer in America?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Certainly one of them.
And of course, it's based in Washington, Missouri.
Yeah.
Which of course is based after named after our first president. So and what which pipe are we featuring from Missouri Meerschaum tonight?
Man, once again, we have a wonderful pipe from Missouri Meerschaum. Unfortunately, it's one of these that I'm going to butcher the name if I try to say it.
It's so easy.
Eaten. Okay.
It's just Eaton.
All right. Well, because can say Eaton.
No.
What you done Eaton?
It's Eaton. It's the Eaton corncob pipe. We've got just a real lovely little pipe here with a small acrylic stem on the end. Just a real nice kind of an amber plastic piece there on the end. A real long kind of pencil shank there, and then a smallish kind of rounded billiard style bowl there. Again, a lot of these Missouri Meerschaum pipes, including the Huck Finn pipe, which I'm a big fan of, they kind of remind me of this of a kind of a cob version of a Bing's favorite, which of course, if you're a longtime listener of Country Squire Radio, you'll know I'm just a big sucker for. So anyway, I love these style pipes that the folks at Missouri Meerschaum have put so much thought and effort into designing. With this longer kind of wooden shank, it's paired with this shorter, almost Levat style, you know, mouthpiece that I think just really adds a nice layer of dimension there. So
the Levat seems to be a consistent kind of style in terms of their smaller bowls at Missouri Meerschaum.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really, really beautiful pipe. If you haven't checked it out, you should. You want to talk about competitive price. Look, they've got wonderfully priced pipes at wonderful quality. You're going to want to check them out. Missouri Meerschaum. Thanks so much to them for sponsoring the show. And we thank all of you for supporting them.
Pipe question of the week.
Real quick, we have a tweet in that I have to read if I can find it again. He says, this is Adam Bybee at Pesky Prussian on Twitter. He says, I'd watch you guys talk about tobacco pairings with Jane Eyre novels if you really wanted to. Man, that is dedication. Like, so that is someone, Bo, that is someone that probably would be on board with a barbecue and tobacco pair. We should come up with just something completely ridiculous one time. Like I don't know, like what
I think the barbecue pair.
What kind of pair of socks go best with English blends or something? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure
coming next April 1st.
You could have a lot of fun with that. I think I would be very annoyed.
Pipe question of the week this week is brought in to us Christopher Kafer, who's written this in. Says, what are both of your thoughts on leather wrapped pipes? Was there a point in their origin, or was it merely for the aesthetic? Keep up the great work, guys, and congrats on both your business success. Well, Christopher, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, as far as I can tell, just from you know, reading up on this a little bit, leather wrapped pipes is an aesthetic thing. This is something that hey, it sure. What's two luxury items that people know and love and would like maybe to combine together? A pipe and a piece of leather. You know, I think if the leather wrapped pipe does have any purpose other than just being an interesting way to you know, cloak a pipe in this beautiful piece of leather.
Right.
It also could be for maybe a pipe if the pipe has bad grain, or if it's got maybe some kind of, you know, defect or something that would make it not particularly pretty to look at from a grain standpoint. Well, you know, what better way to, you know, make this piece of briar, you know, functional and beautiful and all that than putting, you know, very nice supple leather around the pipe like that. I have never really been a big fan.
Have you smoked one before?
I don't own one. I have, you know, have a lot of friends that have one. I guess I've never have smoked one, but, you know, in my sense, the pipe, you're just putting an extra layer of something on top of it that is preventing it from, maybe breathing, how it wants to. And so I think, it would probably produce maybe a hotter bowl. I've never really, considered one myself. You know, I know Savinelli used to make a beautiful leather pipe called the what's that called? The Cricket. It's called the Cricket, which I like that name. It's a cool name for
Cricket.
A pipe.
Yes, but, Cricket.
But you know, they beautiful pipes, and what's nice about them, kind of like the unfinished Savinellis and any natural, you know, unfinished pipe, the leather is going to color over time just with the oil on your hands, which is kind of cool. So and I'm sure it feels real comfortable in your palm and all that. But for me, you know, the experience of smoking a pipe, I want a cool, light smoke. And, you know, I think the leather just kind of, in addition to whatever kind of glue or adhesive they have to put on the wood to keep the leather there, I just don't think that lends itself to, you know, a particularly, you know, pleasant smoke. But that's just me. And again, I've never owned one.
Yeah, you know, I've always been, every single time I've seen them, it just seems like I don't get them. Like, it's like my mind has a hard time computing them. But at the same time, I'd be curious to learn more. That might need to be a subject matter for a...
It might be.
Might be worth kind of diving in and learn a little bit there. Because it sounds like, you know, it sounds like both of us are kind of operating off of opinion. And so...
imagine us doing anything other than...
Well, you know. That's what we bring. But hey, one way or the other, great question. Hey, guys.
Yeah, really good.
Y'all chime in on Facebook, too. Do you like the leather-coated pipes? What are your opinions? What do you like? What do you not like? Put those comments on Facebook. Love to see that. And thanks, Chris, for sending in that pipe question of the week.
I think I'd be interested in hearing, you know, folks that do have leather wrap pipes. I would like to know how those wear, how those age and wear.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen this one very good friend of mine that has an older leather wrap pipe. You know, at some point, the adhesive starts to wear on the leather that's holding the leather to the bowl.
Oh, where is and it so, like
yeah,
abuse over time?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
And so, you know, you've got the leather kind of peeling away from the bowl, and, you know, and then maybe it gets too hot, and so one part's really colored one way, another part's colored another way, then rather than a kind of a uniform patina on the leather that you might hope for. And so I don't know. For me, it's kind of like... In my mind, I hope I don't offend anyone with this. I probably will. But it's kind of like you buying a Jaguar or a, you know, Mercedes or something. But then inside this beautiful car, you've got like a chandelier. Like just don't. Like one's good enough, you know. Just buy the chandelier or buy their Jaguar.
Do people do that?
But don't put them together.
Is that a thing?
Occasionally it is, yeah.
I've never been inside a Mercedes that had a chandelier in it. But, you know, your mileage may vary.
It might.
Once again, great pipe question. If you got a pipe question of the week, send it in csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question.
Bring them, baby.
All right, man. We got quick fire questions in from Mortensen Devi. And I know I'm mispronouncing your name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's actually approached us and been very gracious
several times.
And you still butcher it, and that's okay.
It's out of love at this point. I call you JD
on
the show anyway.
and I choose each time to not choke you. That's okay.
And I'm still alive. Love you, Morton. All right, so here we go. You ready for this?
Yeah.
100% or 110%?
Of anything?
100% or 110%?
Well, I think I want 110%. Yeah. If it's a good thing, you know. I mean, why have all when you can have all and then plus some?
That's right. That's good. Yeah, I'm all about giving 110%. And yeah, if I can get I never expect to get 110%, but I love it when I do.
I mean, I think you know, Einstein would be disappointed in our mathematics here, you know, because isn't anything over 100% kind of like dividing by zero? You just can't really do that.
Yeah, yeah.
110%, baby.
All the way.
Yeah, I want the top.
Pick your friends or pick your nose. Is that a saying? Is that a thing?
Wow, these questions are crazy, Morgan.
Yeah, I'm crazy on that one.
I'm going to pick my friends.
Yeah, I mean...
What about pick your friend's nose?
Pick my nose off. yeah, pick your friends.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
All right, who shot first, Han or Greedo?
Han shot first.
We're old school like that.
Yeah.
And then finally...
This makes me angry to even talk about that.
I love this. This is an Eddie Izzard reference, and I appreciate you for it. Cake or death?
Wow.
You know this bit, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's so great. It's a Church of England joke, actually. He was talking about, I'm remembering Craig is like, yes, welcome to Church of England, cake or death. You there, cake or death? Cake, please. Yeah, here you go, very well. You there, cake or death? Cake, please. Okay, another cake. We're going to run out at this rate.
Wow.
You there, cake or death? Death. No, I meant cake. Ah, you said death.
Too late. You go to the back of the aisle.
We didn't expect such a rush on cake.
I think I'd have to go with cake as a good Anglican. give me cake. You can do whatever you want. Just don't block the aisle on the way to the cake.
Let them eat cake. I will go cake as well. Morton, you successfully got us to answer all of the choices correctly, or at least on the same answer, which means you either win or lose, depending on what you want to judge as winning or losing.
We should have a prize for that.
I feel like we should.
We should, because it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. All right, good stuff. Hey, get quick fire questions. Love getting those in. Send them in, csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Get some great listener feedback this week, but first we want to tell you about our final sponsor for the show, thispipelife.com.
That's right, thispipelife.com. They've done such a good job at building this brand new community online, just kind of pulling together all the threads of the pipe smoking world out there and really integrating it with social media, and we're really proud to be a part of that.
Yeah, every single week whenever we've got a new show, I'm going to try to get up on there and post something. I think in the general forums, you know, they've got their the pipeline, which is their forums. I think it's such a great name for a forum community. And kind of go up there, maybe post a question from this week's episode, maybe post something for next week's episode. So if you haven't gotten a chance to join the community, we encourage you to do so, thispipelife.com. And and be on the lookout in those forums. But also let them know that you heard about it because of Country Squire Radio.
That's right. We got a tweet in from our friend Russ Hicks, a good friend in Georgia. He says, where's all that light in the shop coming from? So bright. And, you know, if you were listening at the front of the show, we moved the tobacco bar to the front of the shop. And so we're literally just feet away, just a very few feet away from this this beautiful kind of picture window here that we've got up front. So, it's kind of weird even for the viewers to get used to. As we were setting the camera up tonight to get used to tonight's show, we, you know, had to adjust a few things just to kind of, you know, get this together. We'll have to adjust how do we do the show. I've had to adjust just how I kind of operate daily, you know, even today being our first day when I had to go get some more blending tobacco. I was going to the wrong place and all this kind of stuff. So, it's going to take a little while to get used to, but it's been a lot of fun. I want to give a shout out to our listener, Larry, from Washington State. It wants us to know very clearly how much these pop filters bother him. He called earlier today.
Oh, he called earlier.
And he called. We talked about some things. We talked about some blends and some FDA stuff and this and that. But Larry wanted me to know in the strongest of terms that these black circles, if you're watching live, these black circles that are in front of Bo and my face, if you look at us when we're like head on, like in it, it just kind of, Bo, put your face in. Yeah, it just looks like Bo's got a big open mouth. It's just kind of, and so Larry, you know, for some people it just really bothers. And so I'm actually trying to sit sideways tonight.
Well, I mean, I've been kind of leaning to the side a little bit because we've gotten a little bit of an angle.
A little bit of an angle. So we're going to, I'm just surprised people want to see my beautiful face.
Yeah. Look, we love doing the live show here at CountrySquireRadio.com and for people to tune in for it, which is awesome. It's great to be able for us to feel like we see you, even though you look like a webcam to us. But at least you get a chance to kind of sit in and see kind of what the experience would be like sitting in the shop. But we are a podcast first, so audio quality over everything else, and that means the pop filter is here to stay.
It does have to be here.
Yes, indeed.
But occasionally I can sit, you know, to the side.
All right. We got a YouTube comment in. It's kind of a follow-up from last week. This comes in from Rick Waller, who says, great topic, guys. Can you perform, again, we were talking about a Pipe 101 last week about cake and maintaining that. He says, great topic, guys. Can you perform the honey process if you have already started smoking a pipe? And he wants to clarify that he has two fairly new pipes that he has attempted to break in.
I think, you know, you can if you're having trouble building cake. Obviously, the honey is not going to stay there a long time. The honey is going to caramelize and then burn away. This is kind of, you know, what it's for. It's really there just as a vehicle to get ash to stick to the side of the pipe. You know, honestly, though, don't put honey in your pipe unless you're trying to build cake. Don't put honey in your pipe, once you've got a well-developed cake. I would very much shy away from that. But I think if you smoked it a few times and want to try it just to kind of advance the process some, that would be okay.
Hey, we also got a tweet in earlier in the show, actually, which came in from Pipe Master, who asks if he can buy the other 10 of Pembroke. So,
Pipe Master,
I'm buying this one.
Pipe Master, it's yours.
All right, and that now first
how's
time
that for a sale,
man. This is a historic episode of Country Squire Radio.
First time we sold
you
something.
You sold out on the show
on air.
Wow, because I'm buying this.
Well,
one.
No, I still have this bag of Tilbury here. Okay. Just said, show's over.
We got
phone lines are still active.
We got another email. You want to read that one from Dan?
Yeah, this one's from Dan through email. He says, "Hey, John, David, and Bo, I've really enjoyed the show. I was searching for another podcast when I serendipitously discovered Country Squire Radio. I've been listening to old episodes on my drive home, and it makes for a relaxing evening and serves as ample motivation to light up my pipe. I appreciate all the information, discussions, and tips on the show. I purchased several great tobaccos and a few pipes based on what I've learned. CSR has definitely helped me become a more proficient and prolific pipe smoker. We have done our jobs. You guys do a great job, and CSR is the most interesting and highest quality podcast that I listen to."
Man,
Bo. Well done, sir. "The production quality puts most of the biggest podcasts to shame. It is possible..." Well, we don't want to toot our horn, you know, or anything, but... "It is possible to make it easier... Is it possible to make it easier to get the archived episodes? I enjoy listening to them. It is a pain to stream them from Podastery. Maybe archive access could be a perk for using Satchel. I do use and I do like it. Thanks for your work promoting the craft and hobby of pipe smoking, Dan Schultz."
Yeah, Dan, first of all, thanks so much for the extreme
really
high praise.
Kind words. Yeah.
He's referring to listening from Podastery, referring to listening from the website, of course. A couple things on that, just real quick. You know, for longtime listeners, you might not realize this, but new time listeners, if they're coming on the podcast, they can only get about the last 35 to 40 episodes. I mean, whatever the most recent 35
that's,
to 40
right.
are, at least through the iTunes and through the RSS feed. Of course, all our entire over 150 archive of shows are available at CountrySquireRadio.com.
That's right.
And, you know, it's a good suggestion. I mean, you know, I love that. I mean, we've got some kind of technical limitations that go along with that. So if we were to make the full archive available, it would probably, we'd have to kind of get creative with it. And it would have to kind of be worth the added adjustment and the technical workaround that would come with it.
Yeah.
Suffice to say, I'm not going to get into how the RSS is built, but you can't future-proof anything. I'll just say that.
Everything you just said, I'm like one of those dogs that all they hear when you speak is just like circle, triangle, happy face, sunshine. Like, I don't know anything about what you're talking about, but I know and trust Bo and his technological proficiency, and we'll leave that to him.
Yeah, at some point we'd love to make that available. We do thank you for listening to the through Satchel. If you haven't been listening to us through Satchel, we love it because you can tweet into the show, maybe even send a few dollars if you wanted to. That'd be great. We also love it because not only that, but you can also tune in to the show No matter what device, if you've got an Android, if you've got an iPhone, we do want to encourage you to, if you haven't already done so, you can go to iTunes, you can write us a review. It's still a good thing to do, and we hope that you would consider doing that. You can keep up with us. You can email the show, csr@podastery, with any of your pipe questions of the week, your quick fire questions. You can tweet into the show at Squire Radio, or you can follow us on our personal channels. I'm at The Real Beau York.
I'm at John David Cole, and you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And all that contact information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Be on the lookout, Facebook and Twitter. For these in these next couple of days and hours, as I'll be in Chicago, especially if you're in the Chicago area, would love to meet up with you. I think that'd be great. All right, man. We had a great show tonight.
This is fun, man. It's first time from this kind of new vantage point in the shop.
And it threw me off a little. I'm not going to lie.
It's a little strange.
Like,
yeah.
I love this, but it feels a little different.
It's a little strange.
Yeah.
But, we'll get used to it.
I dig it, man. We've got all this wonderful space. Hopefully in the coming days and weeks, we'll be able to open this up so that that you guys can actually, for those of you who want to actually come and attend, we might be able to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So. I love the idea, man.
Wonderful.
Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.